But also at the same time, as we're wrapping up the month of July, we're also wrapping up Youth Month, which is a very significant time for us here in South Africa, where we're celebrating young people and what young people are doing, bringing to attention young people specifically. And some such young people are joining me in studio this afternoon to talk about some great work that they are doing, which is absolutely phenomenal. They are in our community, attending at Waterkloof Boys High, if I'm not mistaken. And they're talking to us about something that they've come with to help many schools, parents, peers, and guardians to understand what is happening in the lives of their young ones. Statistics constantly indicate that many, more and more young people in schools are experiencing very great moments of depression and anxiety and possibly even leading to suicide. Now, the boys, Velando, as well as Gerteo Ferreira, joining me in studio to tell me about something that they've come up with to, how can I say, short circuit and try to detect it earlier before we get to extreme situations. The two brothers from Ferreira, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
It's so good to have you guys here and chat more about what you guys have come up with, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. But where does it start? Because this is such a, it feels like a big problem. And it's easy for one to be feeling like, oh, what can I do in my small little bubble? So maybe, Velando, I'll bring it to you. How did you move to saying, hey, I've got something that I can do towards this massive national problem?
I think it all started with realizing how big the problem is in the world. Because 2 years ago when my brother was in grade 10, there was a child in his class that committed suicide. And then the question on everyone's mind was just, why didn't we see it? You know, we've been around him for 6 hours every day, we're his best friends, we sit next to him in every single class, but then this happens. And no one knew about it, no one knew it was going to happen, no one knew how to deal with it. And then shortly after that, a girl in my class ran away from home at 6 at night. And the same questions arose, just asking, why didn't we see this? Because we've been friends for so long, maybe we are to blame because we couldn't see it. And we just, I think the whole process just started with realizing what is wrong and how much it affects the youth of today.
Yeah, and that's a very real feeling, because you feel like, man, did I fail this person by not seeing it earlier? So what then went from recognizing, hey, we've missed it, to let's come up with something? I'd love to hear from you, Gerteo, yeah, in terms of that journey from you see the problem to let's come up with something.
Actually fixing it. So during that time, it was COVID. And before we were allowed into school, we had to fill in this online questionnaire that sort of asked us, were you coughing? Is your nose running? Do you feel sick? So the school could determine which kids needed to quarantine to stay in lockdown and which of us could come to school and sort of give a threat assessment on our risk level for COVID. And we identified this specific problem and we thought, well, if there's a sort of system in place to screen kids and see if they may be struggling with physical health, if they may have COVID, then maybe we could morph that system or sort of create a new system to screen kids and figure out if they may be struggling with a mental health issue or maybe thinking about harming themselves.
Sure. So now that's what you've got, basically. That's the gist of what you've come up with. And how exactly does this work? Is this something that is answered weekly, bi-weekly, daily? And where does the information go? Is it for everyone? Give us more details about that.
So for the moment, we are looking to implement it only in schools, and it is every 2 weeks they fill it in, and all yes or no questions, then the system works through the answers and flags certain children, which is their names are then sent to the school psychologist, and it says these children are at risk for either depression, anxiety, maybe a contemplation of suicide or self-harm, or maybe all three in some cases. So it identifies children for the school psychologist to start working so that he knows about children who might fall into this extremely big pandemic of the youth before they really know that they're on their way there.
And the earlier they know, the better, the sooner they can be able to help them. How did you guys even come to the putting together of the questions, though, that they have to answer?
It was a lot of research and a lot of late nights. We started with a literature study because in the beginning it was just an expo project. In school we have to do these expo projects for marks, and that's really all it was in the beginning. We never imagined it would be this big. But so to for the initial expo, we did a literature study. And from that literature study, we looked at a bunch of different sources online, existing questionnaires, to take the formulation of some questions and then apply that formulation to the questions we wanted to ask. And we also looked in the DSM, the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual for diagnosing these mental health conditions. And we also did interviews with 6 educational psychologists that work in schools or have a history of working in schools, to ask them what are some common identifiers they look for and what are the questions they would ask a child if they suspected that the child was struggling with their mental health or was maybe considering harming themselves.
It sounds like it was very extensive type of research to be sure that you asked the right questions. So you've been having this running, I'm assuming, in your school for a while. How long has it been running at school, if I may ask?
Actually, it's not running in our school at the moment.
Oh, jeepers.
Yeah, we've done several pilots in school because there have been several versions. The first one started out with just a few, well, it started with 48 questions, which was way too much.
Yeah.
And then we got it down to 28 and we tested it. Then we went to SAIS, then we went to Spain for an expo competition. When we got back, when we had the finalized version, we did a mini pilot, just like 1 week-ish in our school. We went back to the IT company, we got everything that everyone thought about it, and now we are working to try and implement it within the next 2 to 3 months because we're working on the advertising at the moment.
So for the week when you did run the pilot, and I'm assuming you might have received quite a bit of feedback from those that were giving it a shot, what are some of their feedback? Were they feeling like, man, it feels good to see on paper what I feel?
Well, I think so. We mostly spoke to the psychologists and they did say it did help. I think their biggest issue was the workload, because they said implementing it all in 1 week. This is now for the final pilot study where we implemented in our school just for a week. So they said it was a lot of workload. So now we're also working to implement it in phases in any school that we do implement it. So we take one grade for 2 weeks and then in the next 2 week phase, we do the next grade. So you sort of phase it in. So it's not such a bigger dump on the psychology department. But in all the pilot studies, the feedback was very positive from the school psychologist. All of them said they could immediately identify what these kids needed help with, and it sort of helped them to cut back on the process of going through those initial sessions and asking a child, what do you need help with and what can I help you with? Because it immediately helped them to see you may be struggling with anxiety. So there was no 2 or 3 sessions needed to determine what the child was struggling with. They could immediately see the child was maybe struggling with anxiety or depression or considering harming themselves, and they could immediately work from there. And all of them said they thought it would be a very valuable tool if we could implement it in more schools and possibly in the future even in other places as well.
I'm so glad you mentioned more schools and other schools. You've said that actually quite a few times in that answer. Is this something that you desire to see stretching out beyond your specific school into more schools? How do you hope that this will implement into the schools?
We never intended for it to just stop because we want to start with schools. So of course, starting with our school or any school that gives us a chance, I guess. And then we want to push it through all the big schools, you know, the big names that everyone knows, the schools that they can kind of vouch for it, and then just keep on spreading through every school. And then once we have secured some big schools, then we'll start working on phase two, which is schools without a psychology department, or maybe universities, primary schools, workplaces, athletic teams. I really don't think there is a place to stop with this project, because not only youth struggle with their mental health.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is really phenomenal. And as I said it before we even started the interview, as you walked in, that I absolutely take my hat off to both of you for the dedication to go beyond, well, I'm just doing a task and move on, but to say, hey, this is a problem that I'm seeing in our community. Before we wrap up our time together, I'd love to hear from you being on the ground. There's a parent who's listening right now who's probably thinking, man, I can relate to the story of the young girl who 2 weeks later ran away from home at 6 p.m. the evening, or maybe even says, I know of someone in my child's school who committed suicide, who took their life. What do you say to those parents in terms of being on the ground with the teenagers, in terms of what they're actually going through, leading them to that place? What are some of the things that you're learning about teenagers going through from your own experience, from your friends, not from a professional perspective, but from saying, hey, I'm young, and this is some of the pressures that we experience?
I think the biggest thing is to just be there for each other, because the best way to prevent these things from happening is early intervention. And the way early intervention happens is looking around you and saying, I see someone that may be struggling, and instead of ignoring it and focusing on your own life, focusing on them and just going to them and saying, I see you could be struggling. So especially for any parents that are listening who may be in a similar situation or feel that they know someone who's in a similar situation, the best advice is often just to listen and to show them, to show anyone that is struggling that you are there for them and that they do have people to rely on. Because most often these thoughts come from a place of where teenagers think they don't have anywhere else to go and they don't have anything else to resort to. So if we can give them a chance and say, but look at all these people that are here for you and look at all these people that want to help you, then we could likely prevent a lot of these deaths and a lot of these cases.
Oh man. Velando Cardeo, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm excited for the work that you're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing this flesh out in your school, in schools in our community in South Africa, and I think ultimately, like you've said, in various other places, in workspaces, in primary schools, in universities, and everywhere, that the sooner we know about the issues that people are facing, that the sooner we're able to then assist them out of that place. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Man, oh man, some great conversations with Velando and Gerteo Ferreira joining us right here on the Afternoon Drive, talking all things relating to the issues that young people are facing when it comes to mental health, but how they've managed to find a way to close that gap, to be able to say, hey, let's find out sooner, because the sooner we find out, the quicker we're able to assist them. And then if we're able to assist them, we're able to see change in the lives of young people in South Africa.
The Afternoon Drive on Impact 103. Come alive.